conversation cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is almost a cause for celebration. We got a break today. They went 2 hours late, but the kids actually had a school day. Hard to comprehend, I know. It seems like, it's almost like, well, if they'd missed this much school and it wasn't frozen solid, you know what? I'd be in jail. But as it is, they did return to school today for at least one day. Although more crap is predicted overnight and into tomorrow, and there is certainly no guarantee that they'll be in school Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Whew. But we got them to school today, which is good, which we've got that going for us. Under the present, at this rate, they'll be going to school into July, making up stuff. That's not going to go over real well. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. Now, let's talk about Morans! Because, after all, it is Moran Monday on the horn. That's right. Moran Monday on the horn. The day of the week when we devote ourselves to exposing the outright stupidity of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Get your morans. Red-hot morans going here. Going quick. Don't go anywhere else on the midway. Step right up to the Moran Monday tent. Just what? No, it's free. It's free. The Morans are free. Step right through the curtain. No one will be admitted to see the Morans after the first 5 minutes. Step right up. You get your programs here. You cannot tell your Morans without a program. There are so many, and they are so varied. Right here, behind this curtain, right behind me here, we've got more right-wing Morans than you can shake a stick at. And they are shocking. They are comical. But most of all, because they're repiglickins, they are Morans. Yep, it's Moran Monday on the horn, and yeah, we got plenty of options. We are, shall we say, as is always the case, not without nominees tonight. We are Moran poor. And let's start with that Moran among Morans. I know, we're all sick of her. Yeah, hey, honey, your 15 minutes is up. But apparently it's not. Because, and, you know, who didn't see this coming? Yeah, you don't even need old Bob Kincaid's tattered, frayed purple velvet robe with the frayed cuffs and the poorly sewn on moon and stars all over it and the cracked magic eight ball that says answer hazy, ask again later. You don't even need that. You didn't need that to know that sooner or later this headline would pop up. Sarah Palin signs on as Fox News contributor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to take any runs at that headline. I'm bigger than that. Yes, I am. Much bigger than that. Contributor. The Godzilla from Wasilla, otherwise known as Caribou Barbie, said,
I am thrilled to be joining the great talent and management team at Fox News.
It's wonderful to be part of a place that so values fair and balanced news and stuff, don't you know?
Okay, except for the and stuff, don't you know? She really said that. Yes, yes. Yes, indeed, she did. She will be a regular contributor, although there's some sort of a deal that allows her to, do other stuff? Like, maybe run for office and try to put the final nail in the coffin of the American experiment in Republican democracy? Yeah, that kind of stuff. And you know that this moron wound up on Fox because she has been eaten alive with jealousy ever since radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckstaby, himself a follower of gun-toting Jesus like she is, got his own gig on Fox. Sooner or later, Rupert Murdoch's going to run out of hours in the day. I mean, you know how it is. Some nights we get going real good on the program, and before we know it, the 3 hours are up, and I keep saying, you know, I'm going to have to expand this show to 6 hours. That's all there is to it. But that does seem like a little bit much, doesn't it? But I say that because it seems we have run out of available hours in which to share conversation and the delights of our camaraderie and collegiality. Well, Rupert Murdoch is literally running out of broadcast hours in the day to highlight right-wing weirdos that he hopes will eventually be propelled into public office. Ew. Just ew. Remember the hissy that the right wing had the other day when someone was talking, when there was brief talk about Big Eddie Schultz running for the Senate from North Dakota to replace Byron Dorgan? Until they found out that, of course, he couldn't because he didn't actually live in North Dakota. He just talks about living in North Dakota, but that, you know how that goes. And the right wing had a hissy saying, well, then he must be immediately taken off the air because he might run for office. Oh, my God. Martha, what will we tell the children? You know? But that doesn't seem to be a problem in double standard land because the Godzilla from Wasilla apparently can blab her fool, moronic heart out at Fox and ain't no thing. And speaking of her fool, moronic head, we do have to go back a little further. You know that this new book is out about the 2008 campaign. And you know that there are revelation after revelation after revelation rolling out there, not the least of which was Harry Reid's Negro comment. I think a light-skinned black man who doesn't speak with Negro dialect unless he wants to has a pretty darn good chance of winning the presidency, and lucky for him, I belong to a religion that in 1975 decided he was actually human and could go to heaven or planet Kolob and have a whole planet full of concubines that he could have sex with forever for God. Okay, the last part he didn't say, but light-skinned Negro. Doesn't speak with a Negro dialect unless he wants to. Yeah, Harry Reid actually said all that. And frankly, I don't give a rat's ass. Except for one thing, but we'll get to that. No, it turns out, according to a 60 Minutes interview, Steve Schmidt, who was John McCain's campaign manager, in this ongoing catfight between him and Caribou Barbie, said that Sarah Palin, when she was selected as vice presidential running mate to John McCain, was serene. She was, you know, her serene highness. Serene. Steve Schmidt said he asked her why, in fact, she was so serene. And she said, well, it's because it's God's plan. No, really, 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 she said, it's God's plan.
for me to be one of the most famous people in the world, don't you know? You betcha.
And Schmidt went on to say, there were numerous instances that she said things that were not accurate that ultimately the campaign had to deal with, and that opened the door to criticism that she was being untruthful and inaccurate, and I think that is something that continues to this day. Steve Schmidt's argument being, if I understand it correctly, that no, she was not being untruthful or inaccurate. What she is ignorant. She's dumber than a 5-gallon bucket of homemade stupid. You know, didn't know, A, that there were a North and South Korea. Didn't know, B, why North and South Korea were separate entities. Didn't know, C, where they were on the map. So I guess our first nominee for Moran Monday, and I realize it's sort of like, I don't know, it's really unfair to put anybody else in the right-wing Moranosphere up against Sarah Palin, Caribou Barbie, Godzilla from Wasilla. It's unfair because she just has... She has a natural advantage, doesn't she? I mean, she is such a Moran that, I don't know, maybe we should retire her Moran knee pads and elbow pads and bicycle helmet and just make her Moran emeritus, minister of Moranity. But because it's going to be hard for anybody to touch. But, you know, fear not, gentle liberal. Because they never stop trying, these Moran right-wingers. They never stop trying. And God bless them for it. There are lots of Morans out there. And, of course, there's other more serious news other than Moran Monday. Let's see. Another nominee for the... David Boren. David Boren is the only elected Democrat of a national nature... from the state of Oklahoma. And he made an interesting comment. I think he was talking to the Tulsa World newspaper. And that's when he said that if the Democrats lose seats or even lose the majority in the 2010 midterm year elections... or midterm elections, that it would be good for him. If we have a tight majority, one way or another, that puts me in the driver's seat, the 3-term lawmaker said. Well, he's been in Congress 6 years. Let's not let it turn into 8. In the 112th Congress, I probably will have the most influence I have ever had, no matter who has the majority. And he says that he has alleged that the new Congress will force Democrats to move back toward the center politically. What? When did the Democrats ever leave the center? Hell's bells, when did the Democrats ever move left toward the center? Back toward the center? That just goes to show that this guy is a wingnut with a D behind his name. He did say, and this was a promise, I would never switch parties. Dave, buddy, don't tell anybody. I think you just did. See, that's the problem with our party. We can't throw anybody out. And this sucker needs thrown out. You know, this is a guy who believes in clean coal technology. This is a guy who, like his master, James Pissquick Inhofe, believes that global warming is a hoax. He would poison us all if he thought that there was a nickel to be had for Oklahoma's oil business and natural gas business in doing so. He voted against cap-and-trade legislation. He voted against health care reform and says he will vote against it again when it comes out of that conference committee and back onto the floor of the House for a final vote. What good is this guy? Really, what right does he have to be in anything that should be called a majority? Why should he have any kind of position of even remote access to power? But he is, in fact, a moron. Democratic losses in November would be a good thing for Oklahoma and for me. That's a quote. So there's our second nominee of the evening. This from Marty. For Sarah Palin's success, I liken her... Oh, and you're going to have to work, folks. This is a movie reference. I liken her to Epi Calvin LaLouche. And the quote is, "The world is made for people who aren't cursed with self-awareness." The words of Epi Calvin LaLouche. Anybody know the movie? Come on, let me check the chat room. Well, I mean, we got some internet latency issues. But we'll sort it out. Epi Calvin LaLouche. The world is made for people who aren't cursed with self-awareness. Cursed. Cursed, he said. Cursed! Yeah, the minute I saw Epi Calvin LaLouche in... the subject line, I knew where Marty was going, but you may not know the movie. No, Lottie, it is not from the Rocky Mountain Horror Show. Oh, no, that's from one of my favorite movies, the incomparable, great, magnificent Bull Durham, in which a young Tim Robbins played Epi Calvin LaLouche, who had a mean fastball that was absolutely uncontrollable, and they nicknamed him Nuke LaLouche. And if ever, I don't know, that's fit for tattooing. The world is made for people who aren't cursed with self-awareness. Okay, not said by him, yeah, because he was a little dim. All right, not said by him, but said about him. Either way, it works, and it certainly works for the Caribou Barbie. The world is made for folks, for people who are not cursed with self-awareness. So that's so we've got Sarah Palin, we've got David Boren. Oh, keep working. Oh, there he is, Matt LaBash, from LaLouche to LaBash, our third nominee of the evening. There was a new website kicked off today. I'm not going to tell you what the URL is. We don't want to give the little bow tie wearing goober any more traffic than he'll get anyway. But Tucker Carlson launched a much ballyhooed right-wing website today called The Daily Caller. Oh, dear, you can probably figure out what the URL is from that. Don't go! Don't go looking at that thing! You don't want to. I'll tell you about the silliness. This much ballyhooed right-wing screed site features a column by a senior writer from the Weekly Standard. And we've got two Weekly Standard nominees in tonight's edition of Moran Monday on the Horn. We have Matt LaBash. And a little bit later, we will talk about John Podoritz. That's Agnes in the background with a hairball. I showed her this. I showed her the John Podoritz review of Avatar. And Agnes took it personally. The name of the review is Avatarocious. Oh, that John Podoritz. That Weekly Standard, they are some quick ones. But anyway, this new right-wing website features a column by Matt Labash called, creatively enough, Ask Matt Labash. And it's supposed to be a funny conversation. Oh, dear. Right-wingers doing humor. I guess you did you hear about the continuing sad and tragic fall of the once funny Dennis Miller? I saw that Bart Kopp mentioned this on his page today. Dennis Miller, who was once briefly invited to do color commentary on Monday Night Football before it got moved over to ESPN, who once had the highest-rated program on home box office, HBO. Dennis Miller has fallen to doing guest gigs, doing commentary, I kid you not, on professional wrestling. Yes, really. Not kidding. And it was just the reading Bart Kopp's review made me glad I had not seen it. Of course, I'm not prone to hey, Agnes, sit down here. The wrestling's coming on. No, we don't live like that. But that's how far Dennis Miller has fallen. Because right-wingers just don't do funny very well. Because whenever a right-winger does funny, it generally has to be at the expense of someone less wealthy, less white, less male, less American, less everything than them. Oh, you do. Oh, yes, let's have a spot of humor about the less fortunate than us. You know, they're such a gaggle of buffoons, darling, don't you know? Did I just do Stewie? I hope not. Anyway, here, this column, Ask Matt Labash by Moran Matt Labash, is supposed to be a funny conversation. Here's a couple of excerpts from his initial maiden voyage funny conversation column. For those unfamiliar with me from my day job at the Weekly Standard, I'll give you a capsule bio by way of introduction. I have the gift of wisdom. Does that sound arrogant? I'm sorry, that wasn't my intention. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. No, that part's not in there. I didn't choose wisdom. It chose me. If I had my druthers, I'd have chosen another gift. Perhaps the untold riches of Lil Wayne, whose teeth are made of actual diamonds, or to be the sexiest man alive, like Rachel Maddow. I said, the sexiest man alive, like Rachel Maddow. Come on, what's a guy got to do to get a rim shot around here? I'll be here all week. Try the Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, I'm not laughing either. And through the magic of the internet radio, wherein I have the power, just like the lady on Romper Room, to see people out in TV land, I can see out into internet land, and you're all sitting there, stone-faced as cigar store Indians. And see, that was not a racial stereotype. That was a reference to a piece of artwork from the 19th century. But I don't have to explain humor to liberals. We laugh easily. I said, or to be the sexiest man alive like Rachel Maddow. Boys over at the Weekly Standard told me this would just kill. Crickets. I hear crickets. Oh, well, let's go on to another funny topic here with Ask Matt Labash. Pick three government programs you would eliminate, Matt, and why? Why is this beginning to sound like a beauty pageant?
Well, I don't know. There's that war in the Iraq because we don't have maps. And the people in, like, the South Africa and America can't have maps.
I should have had her queued up. Anyway, pick three government programs you would eliminate and why, Matt. This comes from alert reader AJ. Number two, legalized rape. Wait, this is a humor column? What's that you say? Rape isn't sanctioned in this country? Then you must not live in a city with red light or speed cameras where it happens every day. I said it happens every day, boy. Give me a little help here. This is a humor column. You're not laughing. Come on, a chuckle, please. You must not live in a city with red light or speed cameras where it happens every day. Come on. What? Forget for a second that in one-fourth of all automated ticket cases, the ticketed car owner wasn't the one actually driving the vehicle at the time of the infraction. What other crime-fighting technology do we consider reliable that nabs the wrong person 25% of the time? And he keeps going on about, the only deterrent effect the technology has is deterring your government from being honest about raping its own citizenry. If you're going to slide me a roofie, government, at least take me to dinner and a movie first. I said, dinner and a movie first. Oh, it's a tough crowd. Yeah, apparently Matt LaBash has been nabbed zipping around Washington because he doesn't say he was unfairly charged, just that one quarter of the people who are, but he was rightly charged and dinged and stone cold busted bad zipping about Washington, D.C. or somewhere. And he didn't like having to pay the price of his scofflaw ways. And so now, I think we're going to have a lot of fun on More and Mondays with Matt LaBash from here on out. We're going to have fun. Not that he's going to be funny. I said, like Rachel Maddow! Still don't get it, do you? Okay. Really. This guy is equating a speeding ticket with being thrown to the ground, beaten, threatened, and being sexually violated. And that's the same as a traffic ticket to him. Man, thank God these right-wingers have them some re-pig-licking family values, I tell you. Because we all know that the brutal sexual intrusion of a woman's most private nature, we all know that that's just like a traffic ticket, and in either instance, it's dang funny. I mean, I'm sitting here just struggling, trying to keep from shooting blazing white hot tea out of my nose, because. I mean, I'm at the snorting point of funny. Oh, dang. That rape, I tell you, that's always a good one. And look at that sexuality slur against Rachel Maddow. Oh, I don't care who you are. That's funny. Or not. So we'll take a little break because there's our first few nominees for More and Monday. Don't let me forget to get to our other weekly standard nominee, this guy's snarky past snarky. John Podhoretz. With his December 28th review of Avatar. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm a little slow getting around to things. But, and we got serious stuff tonight, too. If you ever tune in, And I'll explain. But if you ever tune in and there's just nothing happened here, and you know how our buddy Kate, who's on the road and has, by the way, I have to tell you, safely arrived in Mississippi after heading out Friday evening. She made it. You know, she said, one of these days, if we don't support the horn, one of these days we're gonna turn it on and it's not gonna be there. And that's entirely a possibility. I mean, it does take some bucks to keep this going, and I'm so grateful to all of you who help keep the horn alive. But I have to tell you, in reality, and this is not the funny part of the program, and we'll get to it later in the program, there may come a day when you'll turn on the horn and there won't be no horn, and there won't be anybody around here, at least, to explain to you why there isn't. And that's just creepy as hell, isn't it? Well, yeah, I mean, if it's creepy to you, imagine what it is to me. Not that I'm wallowing or anything. But we got lots of... And jewelry? Ever bought the little children jewelry? Oh, she'll look so cute with this. Don't. I got one of those stories, too. So stick around, and you know the phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. On your own nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Email rolls into bobkincaid@gmail.com. That's bobkincaid@gmail.com. Jump into the chat room if you want to. Head on radionetwork.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. It's Moran Monday on the Horn.
horn. Your requests at 304-658-3333. Oh, what the hell just happened to me? I think I had a DJ flashback. And finally, a rim shot. Woohoo! You know what? I was thinking during the break there, and something dawned on me. We could all, and I will give you a couple of examples. We could all have careers as right-wing funny people. Because they're not doing so good at it. In the chat room, another line, and this is just a classic from Matt Labash. Parson Brown is in the chat room this evening. He of the Topless America Project, a brilliant film project out of Columbia College in Chicago, to document the horrors of mountaintop removal. And when he's not documenting the horrors of mountaintop removal, Parson Brown is a funny guy. No, he really is. But he also pulled up this other quote from Matt Labash. Okay, you ready? Are you in your chairs? You got your cocktails, the little net-covered citronella candle burning in front of you at the comedy club tabletop. Are you ready? Here's some more comedy from Matt Labash. So, stop Somali piracy? If the good people of Somalia can make their bleak lives just a little more bearable by downloading music without paying for it, I say we let them. No, I said we let them. You're out there. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing. If the good people of Somalia can make their bleak lives just a little more bearable by downloading music without paying for it, I say we let them. You're all tied up trying to decide on whether to get the margarita or the Mai Tai special. That's what it is. Yeah, okay. I'll run that one past you a little bit later, says Matt Labash. Yeah. No, but we've all got careers in comedy with the right wing. For instance, I mentioned the other night the story of the, I guess it was Friday night. I mentioned the story of the pants wetting brigade shutting down Newark Airport because a romantically inclined man and woman wanted to walk together hand in hand for a last kiss before he had to get on the airplane. Well, he's facing some sort of charges now, like deviant trespassing or something equally ridiculous. Anyway. So I said, I read the headline, it's KISS shuts down Newark Airport. And I said, no. I read that and I thought, you know, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Ace Frehley, Peter Chris, you know, and they were mobbed by crowds. But no, it was a KISS. And I did that. And immediately I got this email from Kid A, otherwise known as Michael. Kid A in the chat room. And Michael says, KISS? You mean, I want to rock and roll all night and blow up airports every day. 500,000 times funnier than Matt Labash working his ass off. And I get that, from Michael off the cuff. And then there's, you know, any given evening with David in Tennessee. He's just possessed. He's gifted. Or Reverbo, down there, high priest to the shrine of the possum goddess, who can just throw out a gut splitter like that. I mean, we got funny all over the place. But apparently there's a real, I don't know, there's a real comedy crisis in the right wing. At least that would appear to be the case from Matt Labash. If you're going to slide me a roofie, government, at least take me to a dinner and a movie first. Yeah, because that's so gall dang funny when an unsuspecting woman is passed life-threatening chemicals so that she'll go into a stupor and some pathetic, unhumorous right-winger who couldn't get a date to save his soul instead has sex with her while she's unconscious. I don't care who you are. That's funny. But really, really, think about it. Think about it. And that's what it is. It's all about taking that cube and turning it a little bit on its angle so you can just see it a little bit differently and recognizing that everything isn't what it appears to be. It's making lemons out of lemonade, isn't it? There is a right-wing comedy gap, and we can fill it. Maybe not. I don't know. Because you'd have to go out there and try to make jokes about people of color and women and rape and gender slurs. I'd have chosen to be the most popular man in the world, Rachel Maddow. Oh, I wrote that a little while ago. And doggone it, I still chuckle when I read it. You can see Matt LaBash writing that, can't you? Oh, I kill me. But that leads you into one of those, one of those inquiries into the nature of a right-winger and what constitutes humor. Because if you would think a comment like, or the sexiest man alive, Rachel Maddow, if you think that's funny, see, that's an indication that there is something really, really psychologically or psychiatrically wrong with you. Now, I will, as ever, defer to horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner on this if he was to drop me a note and call me down and say, Bob, no, that's really... No, there's something wrong with you if the essence of your ability to laugh is based on slurs that are, fag jokes and black jokes and ethnic jokes and jokes at the expense of women who have been brutalized and victimized by the nastiest form of violence that the human psyche is capable of. Something wrong with you. There's something wrong. Something terribly wrong with Matt LaBash, and arguably even wronger with Tucker Carlson in his desperate attempt to remain something approaching relevant by introducing a new right-wing screed site. But again, back up just a hair. It is about how we look at things and how we choose to deal with situations that, they may look like crises, may actually be opportunities. And by that, let me try to make this clear without stepping on my own tongue. You have seen all the BS about Harry Reid and his really, really, really stupidly, old white stupidly comment. Right? He has since apologized, saying that he could have used a better choice of words than to suggest that Barack Obama, as a light-skinned black man who had no Negro dialect, could have success with white American people. But then there's two ways to look at that. Yeah, he could have used different words, or he could have kept his stupid white bread, white boy mouth shut. You know, the first law of holes says that when you're in one, you stop digging. Or we could take a look at that and say,
Wasn't that just a comment on the nature of white America? It was not a comment on Barack Obama. Facts are facts. Barack Obama has a delightful, clipped, Midwestern speech that is, frankly, a joy to listen to. That's why he gives such good speeches. It's not his speeches I have an issue with. It's putting some action behind him. But anyway, that is how America, in large part, reacted. But the issue is in saying it. And, of course, the right wing jumped right out there and called for Harry Reid's resignation. And I'm probably going to get myself in some sort of trouble here, but I'm going to say it anywho's. This is one of those rare instances in which I agree with the right wing. Resign Harry Reid. You know, surrender Dorothy. Resign Harry Reid. Quit. You've done a lovely job screwing up our majority for us in the United States Senate. You've been a real, I don't know, pinky twister. Quit. Go. And I only ask this before the hate mail starts. Because how many times on this program have I said, or, and more importantly, not I, but you, how many times have you called in, various of you, and said, Jesus, Bob, what does it take for us to get rid of Harry Reid? What does it take for us to get a real Senate majority leader who will have real backbone and real spine and get really, really tough and really serious? What does it take, Bob? And because I'm a trenchant observer in the political process, I have answered, oh no. Well, this is it. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what we've been waiting for. If Harry Reid, let him stay majority leader and keep screwing up the rest of the 2010 year until the midterm elections, but let Harry Reid announce right now, yesterday, that he is not seeking re-election in the state and that he would defer in the primary to, I don't know, who's the guy who ran against John Ensign before we found out that John Ensign was a familied-up horn dog who banged his best friend's wife. Oh, dear. And then had mommy and daddy make the payoff to the best friend's wife's husband as if it was some sort of, camel-swapping deal in the far reaches of some Asian desert. Yeah, but no, who did, who ran against Harry Reid, or John Ensign a couple of years back? If you think, and if you are a walking political encyclopedia, you might recall that it was, in fact, Chip Carter, son of Jimmy. So what do you say we run Chip Carter against that whole weird... teabag and, I mean, you know, any Republican with a pulse, I believe is what Garrett said a few weeks ago, in Nevada right now, has a lead over Harry in the general election polling, you know, one of those, if the election was held today, would you vote for blah, blah, blah. Now, it may be one of the few places on earth where Dick Cheney would win an election before he ditch you. But I'm sorry, I got to do this. Just thinking about John Ensign banging his best friend's girlfriend, best friend's wife. How can you not? What a moron. Family values, man.
she was so fine. And then the family forgave me because we're members of the family and we're better than ordinary schlubs because we're more Christian than them and we're all neo-Calvinist assholes. Did I say that? I'm sorry. I just hijacked the program all by myself. But seriously, is this not the opportunity we've been waiting for? You know, Harry, you're toast in November. Harry, you have not been a good Senate majority leader. I will go so far to say, Harry, that you have been a bad Senate majority leader. You have lacked in all of your I'm not going to do any arm twisting. With all of that horse pucky, you have failed to take advantage of what the American people gave you the power to do. And as Marty notes, yeah, the problem is Harry Reid did speak the truth. But let me just add that Harry Reid does not have a fully functioning working grasp of the first law of wholes. You know, after something like this, yeah, maybe you don't show up on CNN quite so quick. But nobody told Harry.
People writing nice things about me. There's a wonderful editorial in the LA Times today and a number of things on the Huffington Post. Nice things there. But I am very proud of the fact.
Oh, dear.
I can still remember the meeting that took place in...
Wait a minute. Whenever you hear an old pasty-faced white guy saying, I'm very proud of the fact that, and it's in the context of some discussion of race, it is, whatever follows, I am very proud of the fact that, is not going to come out well. It is not going to end nicely. Oh, dear.
My office with Senator Barack Obama, telling him that I think he can be elected president. And I'm sure there were others, but he was kind of surprised that the Democratic leader was calling this new senator over to suggest that he could be elected president. My conversations with the highest ranking African American in Congress, Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, has been like the calls I got today. I got a call from...
Listen, I want to be clear about this. I'm not just beating on Harry Reid for the sake of beating on Harry Reid. The guy's got a great record where this is concerned. On the NAACP's Federal Civil Rights Legislative Report card between 2007 and 2008, Harry Reid scored a 90%. Uh-oh, 35 senators scored higher than he did. However, in the 106th Congress, Harry Reid scored 100%. He has a respectable record on civil rights. And I'm sure that what he's saying in this clip is true. But the answer to, are you a racist, sir, is not, some of my best friends are black. I would hazard, and maybe I'm wrong, the answer to, Senator Reid, are you a racist, is, wait a minute, you're asking me if I'm a racist? That's rich. Go ask the Republican Party. Go ask Senator Lindsey Graham, who bemoaned the other day, 31% of my state's Negroes! Ask him about whether he's a racist. Get out of my face. But he didn't do that. He started excusifying.
Together, Merv Dimelis and I served in Congress together, so I feel good about people reaching out to me. I've apologized to the president. I've apologized to everyone that... in the sound of my voice that I could have used a better choice of words. And I'll continue to do my work for the African American community as a very young man in the state of Nevada.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is the as a very young man in the state of Nevada part. Ouch.
I was one of the leaders of the civil rights movement in Nevada, and it had a lot of moving to do. Governor O'Callaghan, he and I...
Wait, as a young man, okay, we're saying it's pre-1975. Harry, I'm assuming you're talking about 1975. As part of your civil rights work, did you urge your religion to recognize people with dark skin as fully fledged human beings? Was that part of your civil rights work? If it was, well, good on you.
I worked hard to work out the consent decree to allow integration of the gaming community in Nevada. Moving forward, I'm very...
Oh, he was instrumental in letting black folk into the casinos. Well, damn. And we thought John Lewis was a hero for getting the shit beat out of him on the bridge, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. Harry Reid got the casinos to let black people in. Dang!
Aware of the fact that the first African American to serve on the federal court in the state of Nevada was a direct work I did, recommending Johnny Rawlinson to President Clinton. The first diversity program, and I got a call last night. It was late. I was surprised he was up this late, from Secretary Salazar. And he said, Harry, you make sure you tell everybody that you have done more for diversity in the United States Senate than all the rest of people put together. So that's where we are, and I'm going to move forward and help get health care done the next couple of weeks.
Okay, let's address that last real quick. I got a call last night. It was late. I was surprised he was up this late, from Secretary Salazar, and he said, Harry, you make sure you tell everybody that you've done more for diversity in the United States Senate than all the rest of the people put together. Damn straight. That's why the United States Senate today doesn't look like a lily white Klan meeting with women. No, well, the Klan, yeah, I guess the Klan admits women. I mean, we had Barack Obama in the Senate for a little bit, and we've got Roland Burris there until, you know, the people of Illinois throw him out. And the guy seems like a decent human being, too. Harry. No, not Harry, it's Moran Monday. Harry. I mean, I feel kind of bad, and maybe I'll catch some hell for this. But haven't we wanted rid of Harry Reid? And I'm sorry, there's a certain element of politics that requires a willingness to work. that requires us to work with what we've got to work with. Harry Reid was dying in the polling numbers in Nevada before this ever happened. This is a chance. Harry Reid will not be back. I'm prognosticating, but Harry Reid will not win re-election in Nevada in November 2010. He should join the Chris Dodd Club, read the handwriting moving on the wall, and move on. There's a nice lobbying job out there for him. He's taken lots of money from corporate lobbyists over the years. He won't go on the beans and cornbread and green onions diet. He'll be fine. Move on, Harry. Let somebody step up who can do the job
and who understands that when you're dealing with right-wing Republicans, now more so than ever because they just keep getting meaner and more hateful. I guess we've made Harry Reid a Moran Monday nominee, haven't we? Someone who understands how mean the right wing is and understands that the only thing that a bully understands is a punch square in the nose. Let somebody with a D behind their name do that job. Harry, please, if the party means anything to you, if America means anything to you, step aside, Harry. Go take your retirement. Go gamble, well, whatever you do. Go to a casino or the Wayne Newton show or whatever. Go to church. Take up your golden glove, you know, get on the senior golden gloves tour or something. But Harry, do us all a favor, would you? Buddy, please. So that's the end of the first hour. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333. Chime right in. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn.
Billboards promise paradise. And tattoos done while you wait. Possible futures are laid out on the sweeping curve of the interstate. On the sweeping curve of the interstate. Got no city, got no land. Got no lover, got no wife. How many ways to say goodbye? Can one man fit in a nomad life? Can one man fit in a nomad life? Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Call now. Long car waves, then it wanes, leaving only voices in the hall. And in the room next door to mine, the bed is banging on the wall. The bed is banging on the wall. You've no idea how I long for even one loving caress, for you to step into my heart without deception or duress. Without deception or duress. Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Call now. Life's short. Come out.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, minutes past the hour, we roll into the second hour of Moran Monday here on the Horn. I'm Bob. And this in from the, not the chat room, from the email. I'm so easily confused, and no, this in from the email box. This comes from our buddy Andy in New Jersey. Andy writes, Andy writes, with regard to Harry Reid, Harry Reid, talk about a zombie in a suit. A simple stuffed shirt punching bag. I'm behind you 100%, Bob, where Harry Reid's concerned. The guy stands for nothing. He's supposed to be a boxer. Man, the Repiglicans use him as their personal punching bag. They beat him bloody and he doesn't counterpunch. What, a record of 100 filibusters on his watch to kill Obama's agenda or anything progressive, even as unprogressive as that agenda has been? The guy is the ultimate non-risk taker. He'll do anything to avoid a confrontation. The guy is afraid of his own shadow. I've never seen anyone like him that elicits ultimately no confidence in his abilities. He's a gutless stuffed shirt, afraid to do the right thing, the consummate coward. You have to consider the votes that have come up. It's what doesn't come up as a bill or in a bill. Any legislation or nominee vote, with even an inkling of progressive or liberal social improvement, fails to see the light of day. It's everything he's afraid to do, which is anything moving the middle class or working people forward. Thanks, Andy. Thank you, Andy. And Andy is correct. It's almost a year ago, and you're sick of hearing the story. It's almost a year ago that I had Harry Reid look me in the eye from the podium when I asked the question about, you know, when are we going to get the Employee Free Choice Act? And there were no weasel words. There was no waffling. We will have a card check bill by summer. I just went outside a few minutes ago and just about got frostbite from all the summer on the ground because we still don't have the Employee Free Choice Act. And, of course, you know, Blanche Lincoln, the senator from Walmart. And her fellow travelers said, the corporatists said, well, you know, this is not the time to do this thing that would be such a good thing for the American working people because, you know, it might harm the economic recovery. And that just engendered a little thought in me the other day when I was pondering on this. I ponder this kind of stuff all the time. I'm a ponderous person. If the Employee Free Choice Act would not have been a good idea, given the perils that the economy was in 6 months ago, 9 months ago, if that would have been a bad idea, why in the hell did we get the National Labor Relations Act in the absolute teeth of the Great Depression? Why did the FDR administration stride forward boldly to speak truth and speak goodness and speak decency to America's working class? Why did that happen? Surely to God there were some blathering corporatist bastards in FDR's day. Oh, Mr. Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, this is going to be terrible for the economy. The economy's going to tank. The economy has already tanked. What was different about 2009 from the mid-1930s? Because that was when the National Labor Relations Act was passed. Unless somebody can tell me that, it was actually 1944, Bob. I'm just asking. But rather than upset the apple cart or see Blanche Lincoln cry or wake up with a Chinese-made artificial horse's head in his bed from Walmart, Harry Reid just quietly, ever so quietly, almost painlessly, slipped the shiv between the ribs of working people and labor in this country. And there's been not another peep about the Employee Free Choice Act since. Just saying. So, yeah, this is a great opportunity for Harry to go and enjoy his golden years. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Brian from New Hampshire. I want to say, I'm mostly Celtic, Catholic American there. And I don't know if I do a very well, good Cockney or Oxfordshire accent, but I want to say, yes, bully, yeah, step down, Harry Reid, step down. Yes, the words of Winston Churchill at the Neville Chamberlain, step down from the podium, sir, and step down from your office. You defeatist before these dangerous people, that kind of thing. Hello?
Well done. Beautifully done.
Another
Winston Churchillism comes to mind, Brian.
Okay.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was Ascot or someone, or Astor or whatever. Asquith, maybe. Yeah, Asquith. Winston was talking about. But in referring to someone at one point in time, he said, "Well, he's a humble little man with a lot to be humble about." That's Harry Reid in a nutshell. A humble little man with a lot to be humble about.
And also, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but what Winston Churchill said, I know when Richard Burton played him in the Gathering Storm. It was a BBC television series. I believe it was a great play, too, a theatrical play. Churchill had kind of a bratty son there who was always making fun of Neville Chamberlain. And then one time Churchill had enough of it, his son said something, I don't know the correct British colloquialism to say, but he said, "Father, what is this bloody nonsense, this bloody bosh with this Chamberlain lad? When is he just going to give up his office? When is he going to just see the writing on the wall? After he'd been insulting the Neville Chamberlain for years, and what is this Neville Chamberlain? What is he all about?" And then Churchill he's shown his good side, his compassion for Neville Chamberlain as a fellow liberal in the classical sense of being against Adolf Hitler and his totalitarianism. He says, he's bloody well for peace, which mankind has been striving for in all of his miserable career and hasn't been able to achieve it. That's what he's for. That's what he's trying for. And, he defended Neville Chamberlain, and apparently that conversation did take place to his own son. Winston Churchill did. He is trying to be a good man, but at the same time, the Britain and the Western...
Well, Winston's son was an ass.
They needed Churchill at that time. They didn't need Chamberlain by that stage. But Harry Reid is a good man, but he misspoke. And I don't like to say the word misspoke, but it's something.
No, he didn't say anything that wasn't true.
Yeah, that's right. He used the word Negro.
Well, it's not just that. He said that
the way he used it,
that yeah. Barack Obama, he thought Barack Obama had a good chance of becoming president because he was a light-skinned black who did not speak with a Negro dialect unless he wanted to.
Well, I don't know. Part of me, I'm so desperate to get Harry Reid out of the way because he like you're saying, he's not of the same timber as the people that worked with FDR in the 1930s and 40s. I want to get him out of the way and get a real leader in there. If this thing will do it, sad but true, it's fine with me at this desperate stage for our nation because I'm going over the things with the health care phony reform or the corporations' health care reform bill. And it's Donna Smith's story in the Sunday Common Dream. She was talking about that the White House is saying they can get over the liberal angst. That they're not too worried about that. Well, they may need to be worried about that because they're driving a lot of us into the Democratic Socialists of America or the Green Party much more, than supporting Barack Obama. The problem still remains, though, Bob, that the right-wing media has given too much airtime to these nutcases, these right-wing, like Sarah Palin just got promoted, quote-unquote, to the fascist Fox is now on Fox News now, right? I believe she got a show there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's right, and Sarah Palin. And these people, it goes back to a good, solid liberal, a congressman from the southern part of Massachusetts named Barney Frank, August 19, 2009, this young woman there at these healthcare so-called town meetings, and she has a placard of Barack Obama made up to look like Adolf Hitler. And then she says to Congressman Frank, she says, "Why do you continue to support a Nazi policy as Obama has?" The young lady asked during the 2-hour.
Oh, and Barney just tore her a new one.
During the two-hour town hall meeting on healthcare in Dartmouth, Mass., replied Frank, who is of Jewish extraction, of course, "I'm going to refer to my ethnic heritage and answer your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time?" He then added, "It's a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Trying to have a conversation with you, young lady, would be like trying to argue with a dining room table." And you stop from there. And that's the way we need to ignore these right-wingers.
Well, no, that's not ignoring. That's punching them in the face. That's how you deal with a bully.
You belittle them for the little people the small-minded people that they are, and it's again the same. It all leads back to I believe the September 11th attacks. This country's in a state of fear, and I believe that with the false flag, it could well have been a stand down that allowed that young Nigerian man on Christmas Day to attempt what he attempted with what may not have been even very explosive material. But this fear factor allows these inept Republicans to stay in office. I can't understand it. Going back to, like I say, I knew the Marines that were killed 240 in Beirut in 1983, October. Less than 48 hours later, Ronald Reagan invades Grenada to take the American sheeple of that time to their mind off of the dead Marines in Beirut, who his military men told them not to send there. And we were using, at that time, the battleship New Jersey. I don't know if I already spoke of this, but the 16-inch guns there off the coast of Lebanon, a totally inaccurate weapon from the 19th century. It's just killing many civilians. And Ronald Reagan, a reporter asked him about the French at Dien Bien Phu. Are the Marines surrounded like the French at Dien Bien Phu? And he says, well, maybe the French at Dien Bien Phu didn't have the battleship New Jersey as well. Well, we have there. You have to remember he was a man that faced real enemies, like the invading Japanese and German forces in America there. Ronald Reagan faced them down in real war situations from the film studios in Culver City, California.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
And, where the Harry Reid thing is concerned, I was just checking a couple of notices I got off of my Facebook page. There's a brilliant guy out there who works with entirely too many of the fun words, Brian, to be able to be published, widely. Because he uses the language of the American person, because we all use the F word. We all use, he uses language that can only be used on the internet. But he goes by the Rude Pundit, and he's hilarious, among other things. But on Facebook today, he said, I think this Harry Reid thing is going to drag on for a while. If Reid really wanted to change the story, he'd say, F you effers, we're doing reconciliation. And that would change the story.
That's right.
And he's the Rude Pundit is absolutely correct. And moreover, the fact of the matter is, if Harry wanted to do that, he could. I mean, it's within his power to do that. And that's the ultimate gripe, I guess, is that Harry will not take the power that we gave to Harry.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm wondering, did you read Sunday's column again? Frank Rich got it right again there, Bob. About the other terrorist threat there, about the economic meltdown, the economic terrorists that continue to get away with their thievery in this country, the Wall Street bankers. If you might want to go back over that from Sunday's New York Times there. And also, I think it was Frank Rich, too. This was back in May, Memorial Day, actually, of 2009. Frank Rich's column, who is to be to blame for the next attack? You know, the terrorist attack, and he's talking about, you know, the right-wing media is almost setting up, you know, they were ready to pounce on any kind of violence or any kind of act and just say to paint Obama as being weak on terrorism. And the fact is, Mr. Rich writes, the reality is that while the Bush administration was bogged down in Iraq and being played by Pervez Musharraf, the likelihood of al-Qaeda gaining access to nuclear weapons in a Taliban-saturated Pakistan was increasing by the day. We know that in the month before September 11th, bin Laden and al-Zahari met with the Pakistani nuclear scientist Sultan Basruddin Mahmood. This was the real link between 9/11 and nuclear terror that the Bush administration let metastasize while it squandered American resources on a fictional link between September 11th and a nuclear quote-unquote Saddam. That's from Frank Rich, May 31st, 2009. Who is to blame for the next attack? But, you know, does Frank Rich, you know, the people like Frank Rich and Barney Frank and Representative Grayson, do they get nearly enough anything like equal airtime on the corporate media?
Oh, hell no. And, you know, case in point, I have a question here, Brian, and maybe you can answer it, but it may be some sort of Zen Quan that's unanswerable, except to say that, you know, you just write it off and say, forget about it, Bob. It's the for-profit media.
Yeah.
On two instances over the last weekend, and particularly on Meet the Press, or maybe it was this weekend's Hard Balls with Chris Matthews or something. But there sits Mary Cheney. And she's not a guest. She's one of the contributing talking heads. Now, what credentials, apart from a genetic mistake insofar as her daddy got her on her mommy as part of his ongoing plan to have other plans and evade the Vietnam draft, what credentials does Mary Cheney have to be a talking head, to be a pundit? What journalism work has she done? What campaign work has she done? I mean, Jesus, if you see old Snakehead or Mary Madeline on a show, you can at least say, you know, these people, as loathsome as either side may find the other, these people have worked on campaigns and they have a certain degree of insider knowledge. So you can at least make a credible case that they've got business being on the show. But Mary Cheney is simply on the show because she's Mary Cheney and she's doing her daddy's hatchet work. And for all I've said about Harry Reid, Brian, for that dumb twit to get airtime to chastise a Democrat about racism, and I heard it with my own little pink little ears. It put me off my oatmeal yesterday, Brian. It did.
And I gotta be, I don't have it. Like I say, I haven't had cable television since back in 2000, and I don't miss it. I like the internet much better, where I gotta read my news and get the real information. But at the same time, you know, I missed the football games. I missed the game yesterday. I'm sorry that I'm not a real football or New England Patriots fan. I'm sorry they lost, but not for Tom Brady, because he was a shameless. He kissed up to George W. Bush, the stolen presidency, and when they won their first Super Bowl there, he says, I'd like to be president someday too, and he was doing touring with Laura Bush talking about against steroids and that kind of Yeah. The same superficial nonsense while our kids were dying and tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and Afghans were dying at the same time in the war profiteer's paradise. And this Tom Brady, I'm happy for the rest of the Patriots teams, though. I'm not so happy, but at the same time, I'm happy for the Baltimore Ravens. Ray Lewis, a great middle linebacker. He's like the Dick Butkus of our era.
See, you and me, we're going to part company on Ray Lewis.
Okay, I know his personal life is not, I understand. But at the same time, my own familial name there, that we have Lewis is one of our family surnames, and that's the Welsh Celtic side of our feuding familial clans. You know, the Hatfields and McCoys probably had nothing on our, when you go back to the old country. But Ray Lewis, for years the Ravens had great defense, but never quite enough offense, but this year they might have it. But at the same time, I'm glad I missed it. You know, I don't care about the football. I care about our republic is at its dying throes, and people are too worried about the Super Bowl. I mean, I understand, like somebody in New Orleans after post-Katrina and all that, I hope their Saints make it all the way. I really do. If football is a real team game, it does make young men. It does make good young citizens if you train them right and you give them the right kind of team spirit. That's why I like the college games much better than the pro. The pro, like I say, those athletes are individual corporations. And I do miss football a bit, but at the same time, America is amusing itself to death. I think, is that one of the latest Bruce Springsteen songs, or some country singer sings that, just the American sheeple are still way too intellectually lazy to really take on these people. Either they're afraid to do it after September 11th, you know, or just being driven into the fear, and the fear, you know, economy continues. It's more friendly fascism, I suppose, under the corporatist name Obama, and he's, like you say, is much more charming speaker. But we have to keep, you know, banging away with the facts and the truth. You know, that documentary on the assassination of JFK by the British Nigel Turner there, the men who killed Kennedy. One of the episodes is called "The Truth Shall Set You Free," and I believe that. I believe in my own very ecumenical way that there is an afterlife and there is a kind of a judgment, and that somebody who doesn't care about the truth, or that the truth is just something to be used when it cynically fits your political aims or your political goals or your careerish goals. That is not the truth. That's something you're going down a different path, and Niccolo Machiavelli can teach people about that. The Mayberry Machiavellis of George W. Bush's regime.
I always loved that phrase. Yeah, Mayberry Machiavelli.
Yeah, teaches a lot about that.
Oh, by the way, I got to make a correction. No, okay. Marty caught me. No, not Mary Jean. Liz Cheney.
Okay.
Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
And it was this week with George Snuffleupagus where she showed up.
And it's Stephanopoulos, he didn't even, after we already have Mary Madeline saying that 9/11 did not happen under George W. Bush, he lets, what was it, Giuliani gets away with saying that it didn't happen under George W. Bush? Steffi Stephanopoulos lets him get away with that?
I know. Hey, Brian, great call, brother. I got to run along, though. I've got a blinking light by you. You have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Later. And on we go. Oh! Dang it. Well, you'll have that. Whoever you were, jingle back if you want to. Yeah, it was Liz Cheney, not Mary. I'm sorry. All those, just a hateful bunch of pasty-faced right-wing white people. They sort of run together for me after a while. But yeah, this is, she's literally had the nerve on this program to lecture Democrats about racism. And then when, maybe it was Al Hunt disagreed with her, she said, well, you know, that's just how it is with you liberal elites. Racism is terrible unless one of your people do it. There was, let's be clear, nothing racist in what Harry Reid said. And, you know, I really am with the rude pundit on this. I wish he would respond to it by saying, hey, yeah, it's fine. You guys want to talk about that? I'm going to talk about doing health care by reconciliation. We're going to have some universal single payer. How's that? Well, do you feel lucky, Repigs? Do you, huh? That would restore my faith in Harry Reid. Well, okay, no, that would give me faith in Harry Reid, because I've never had any faith in him to begin with. You can't restore what did not exist. But then George Snuffleupagus calls out Liz, who has no credential. She's got, I've got as much credibility on that program as she does. So do you. We all do. She's just a private citizen. She is not a journalist. She is not a politician. She is not a pundit. She is simply there as a walking apologia for her hateful, miserable, machine-managed father.
Oh, I'm dead again. Oh, I'm back.
You want proof? He asked her about the allegations in the book, the new book that's out about Cheney thinking selecting Caribou Barbie was not the best idea.
Only have 15 seconds left. Liz, there's one other revelation in this book. There are many, but one of them is that your father, former Vice President Cheney, when he heard about Sarah Palin being picked, thought it was a reckless act by John McCain. Is that true?
No, that's not true. It's not accurate. No. I think, frankly, I haven't read the book, but I've seen some of the excerpts of it. And I have to say that the excerpts about the Democratic candidates, whether it's Bill Clinton's long-running affair or excerpts about
so
John Edwards' affair.
The one about
no, I think those sound a little bit more interesting, frankly, than the excerpts about the Republicans.
Yeah, don't answer the question. Try to see if you can. Clinton's penis! Clinton's penis! Now, I recognize the fact that, you know, as you go, you know, it's funny, as you grow older, time seems to compress because the 1990s were not that, Jesus, God, they were 20 years ago. 1990 was 20 years ago. But it doesn't seem that far away to me. And the Clinton presidency doesn't seem that far away to me. But it's even closer for Republicans because if whenever you can always tell when they're in a corner. Clinton's penis! The cleanest! The cleanest is going to get us! Woo! If they weren't so godforsaken dangerous, they would be funny. 25 minutes before the hour, and we go to the phones.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
It wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
I think you think it's always me, but it's
no, I didn't think. I didn't think. I don't know who it was.
No. Snuffy. Snuffy.
Yes, George Snuffleupagus. Yes, George Snuffleupagus.
Yeah. He's one of the ones that asked during the runoffs, Democratic runoffs, the debate, kept asking Kucinich, did he believe in UFOs?
About the UFOs, yes. He's a terribly deep man, George Snuffleupagus.
By him, I mean, he's been doing stuff like that for stuff and love and love like that for a long, long time.
So, I mean, Bart Kopp refers to him as Judas Stephanopoulos.
Good. That's a good name. I agree with that, and I think it might be an insult to Judas.
Well, you know, we had that conversation, and you're absolutely right. I think Judas gets a bad rap, but because George Snuffleupagus got raised on the tide of Bill Clinton and then turned around and started sinking shivs in Clinton's back as quickly as he could.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sure did. Yeah. We're talking about Harry Reid. The crying heart liberal, what are we?
Oh, bleeding.
Bleeding heart liberal in me wants to cuddle him and, you know.
Well, I'm glad because I don't want to. I will leave that to you.
Okay, wait a minute. But I want, we haven't had a leader, you know, the one we had before was similar, very similar to him. The one from Dakota?
Oh, yeah, Tom Daschle.
I want somebody that's dynamic.
I want a street fighter.
I want somebody to get in there and say, wait a minute, you're not going to do this to my people, meaning us.
Yeah, pardon me, but you're not going to do this to my country.
Yeah. But anyway, that's...
The question was, and it was put up in the chat room a few minutes ago, who is that person? You know, the number...
Right, I agree. That's what I was going to ask.
The number two guy in the Senate right now is Dick Durbin. And I, as senators go, I like Dick Durbin.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll do it. He can do it.
But he comes from a coal state, and I don't want any coal state people running the Senate. So,
sorry, Dick. He backs down sometime, too.
Yeah, well, remember when they made him apologize for something that didn't need apologizing over?
Right, right. I want somebody that will, you know, not make an apology unless an apology is needed.
And that, let's see, that would be Bernie Sanders.
Oh, that would be great.
You know what? Jack Reed from Rhode Island.
Maybe.
Russ Feingold.
Oh, yeah. Now, that could work.
Who else? We're fighting Senate Democrats are so daggum scarce, Juanita.
Oh, yeah. And there's somebody that...
Barbara Boxer, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was just going to say somebody could tell Lieberman to sit down and shut up. And she could do it because I've heard her do it.
Then again, when he was running for his primary reelection, she went and campaigned for him in Connecticut.
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of them did that, you know, out of
loyalty. Sure.
Yeah, but then some of them didn't back him otherwise, you know.
Right.
We do need somebody.
Yeah, I'm getting a vote for Sheldon Whitehouse from Sparky in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Not John Kerry.
No.
That other guy from Pennsylvania who isn't Arlen Specter. Too bad Al Franken's just a freshman.
Yeah.
But he's a little too pro-Israel for my point.
Al Franken can hit you, but people don't realize that.
He might make a nice whip.
Yeah, they don't realize how much he studied. He knows the ins and outs. You know, he's been around it. And he was a friend of the one that got killed, you know, in the airplane.
Yeah, Paul Wellstone.
And he's a very smart man. And they think he's just a comedian.
But what we're identifying here is that we have a paucity, Juanita, of really dynamic... leaders inside the United States Senate on the Democratic side.
Right.
We've got policy wonks, and we've got people who are really good at being moderate, but we don't have a lot of, you know, teeth bared, bare knuckle, bloody their nose fighters that this era calls for. I'm sorry that politics is this way. I wish it wasn't this way. I wish there was a minority party in this country that would actually sit down and work toward the common good of the American working class. But we don't have that. We have thugs on the other side. We have brown shirts. We have people who lead beer hall putches at town meetings and call them tea parties.
Yeah. And you got so many American people that thinking, oh, yeah, that's right, you know. But... I want some words outlawed. I want bipartisanship. I've been wanting that way yonder back.
Yeah, just take that out of the Democratic vocabulary.
No, this bipartisanship. Oh, please, please, please. Because the Democrats do it, the Republicans don't. But I'm just so tired that if we're not going to have partisanship, then let's just have one.
Yeah, bipartisanship party is something you only have to have when the Republicans are in the minority, Juanita.
Oh yeah, that's right. And then another one. Oh, our children and our grandchildren are going to have to pay for this. Well, what about the people that died that don't get a chance to have children or grandchildren, or the children that die,
or the people who die who would have gladly paid for it?
Yeah. And I'm tired of that.
And what, you know, and that our grandchildren will have to pay for it stuff. Excuse me, that makes it sound like our grandchildren were out there running around scot-free. They've already got an illegal, immoral war in Iraq, an immoral, ignorant war in Afghanistan, and the possible hot-up of yet another one in Yemen to pay for. And all of a sudden we're sweating about them having to pay for the fact that they get to go to the doctor when they're sick. You know, what kind of sick, twisted priorities does the right wing really have?
Right. And to keep our country safe, we need to be healthy. We need a healthy country.
Yeah, we do.
We need a country that's got a little money to spend, a little spare money to spend, and not have it be eaten away at your home payments, and you have to have a car, you have to have this insurance, you have to have that insurance, or you go under the jail. You know, I mean, it's just there's no way you can win the way it's getting to be, and people think it's bad. I mean, Lord have mercy. But the thing is that our Democratic Party has brought this on us. First of all, they dropped the possibility of losing, you know, these seats is what I'm trying to say. But the thing is that they just assumed because they're in power that all this Republican stuff, you know, they were just going to be out of power for years. Well, if there's any good Republican, and maybe there's one from Louisiana, if there are, they're going to be less and less than there were. We're going to wish back for maybe somebody like Trent Locke.
Oh, dear. I understand why you say that, but that just, you know, that makes your stomach do flip-flops.
And the possibility of President Sarah?
Yeah, that's a real head-splitter, too.
Who's convinced that she's Queen Esther. She's been...
Yeah, remember she was Queen serene. Esther. She was serene, Juanita.
I know it. And she is. And I thought that statement you said about or somebody wrote in about the people who are unaware are the ones that this world or country's made for or whatever. You said it was from Bull Durham?
Oh, yeah. And
that's so good, you know, because people I heard, they're totally unaware of, are oblivious, you know, to their own self-importance.
Well, remember, she was serene because this was God's plan.
I know it, Bob.
You know,
Bush. It's God's will for me to...
Right. God told me to attack Saddam, and
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Wow, was God really wrong about that one?
Well, no, not in the long run, Bob. Don't you understand? It's all going to work out.
Yeah, because this was just another match in the sandal of Jesus to get him to hot foot it back to earth, right?
Yeah, so they can all leave.
You know, I had
a
while back, Sue posted a video during the election about the difference between Palin, McCain, and Obama Biden, and used a Michael Franti and Spearhead song, great song. And John Fox alerted me to a comment there on it on our YouTube channel the other day, and the question was, Bob, aren't you feeling a little silly? Look at Barack Obama's poll numbers. He's trying to out Bush. And I just wrote back and I said, you know what? Sometimes I do get down on Barack Obama, but then I think about watching TV and seeing that blank screen come up, and this is a special report from CBS News. We regret to announce that President McCain has lost his long battle with cancer and died moments ago at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Sarah Palin is being sworn in as the President of the United States. Let's go live to the White House. And then all of a sudden, I'm okay with Barack Obama again.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't know. This election will tell a lot of tales on it.
Well, I think the Democrats are going to maintain their majority, but it's not going to be, and it never has been a 60-vote majority.
Oh no!
That's why the importance of having a real leader as Senate Majority Leader is so vitally important, because you've got to have a functioning understanding of the Senate rules, and that's in conjunction with an understanding that you are dealing with bullies and punks and thugs, and they have to be treated
and
as
not
such.
Not good friend.
Well, you can call them that on the floor if that's what the rules say you have to call them, but then after you've called them my good friend, you can my good friend, the scum-sucking dope dealer from, you know, South Carolina.
Yeah. That's what I want to hear. I want them to speak, or we the people. That's what I want.
Yeah.
but we don't get it. Maybe a few here and far between or whatever, however that goes. But I would like the Barney Frank when he said to that young girl, lady, or whatever you want to call her.
I can have as meaningful a debate with you as I can with a dining room table. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And then people, for months after that, said, he wouldn't even answer her question. Well, you're a dumb freak, you know.
Oh, Juanita, I would pay money to have you in the United States Senate.
I would love to see a lot of us in the
Mr.
There.
President, I rise to respond to the dumb freak over there. Oh, God, I would stand up and sing some sort of patriotic song if I could just hear that.
Yeah. Well, who knows what will happen, Bob? We all may end up there somewhere. Oh, me. Anyway, I didn't think I was going to call you tonight, but I had one of my son's great hamburgers, and I got...
He must make a dandy.
Huh?
He must make a dandy.
He does. He tries all kind of ingredients, you know, to put in it, flavors and so forth.
Well, you know...
Put right into the hamburger.
Oh, that, you know what? That's so
and
good.
And then he toasts the buns and just right. I mean, anyway... Yeah.
That sounds tasty.
Huh?
That sounds tasty. Agnes fixed me a couple of grilled cheese sandwiches on sourdough, so I was thrilled with that.
Yeah.
I love sourdough bread. I just do.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had it in a long time. You make it?
Oh, no. We cheat. Although I have in the past. You know, you can make real easy sourdough starter, Juanita, and you don't have to use any yeast. There's a method where you don't use yeast. You use whole buttermilk, a little bit of warm water, a good bit of salt a little bit of salt and a good dose of sugar, and put it in a mason jar and just cover it with plastic wrap and put a rubber band around it, around the lid to keep the plastic wrap on, and
it
just
blow up.
And just sit it in a warm place. Now, it won't blow up, but it'll eventually, because of the lactobacillus, the live cultures in the buttermilk, it'll get busy, and then you just build your sourdough up from there.
You kind of keep that for...
Yeah, that's your starter. And, like, you measure out, whatever you take out, you put back, and it'll grow back up again. Like, if you take out a cup of sourdough starter, you put back a cup of buttermilk and water and sugar and salt, and let it work up again. And then you build your batter around that sourdough and let it go sour in a warm place. And oh, my heavens, to make pancake batter with that stuff?
Oh, wow.
Never mind the bread. Oh, sourdough pancakes. My God, if they could make a perfume that smelled like sourdough pancakes on a hot iron griddle, there wouldn't be an unmarried woman in America that didn't want to be.
That's like that ad where the girl rubs the peanuts on her.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you a question for her. Did you get my last email?
Yes.
Well,
where I sent you
about the Pope idea.
We're killing humanity by letting gay people get married?
No, about that, if we get all these things these people think they want, like prayer in schools, they're not going to allow Hail Marys.
Oh, maybe that one didn't roll through.
Well, yeah, and they're,
Because the last thing I had from you was about the Gazette story that I sent you.
I think I had that on the bottom of the
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit, you know, dim.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll just have to have a Southern Baptist pope to decide what will be and what will not be taught, or maybe a Pentecostal pope, certainly not a Catholic one.
Yeah, they don't realize the complexities. That's a problem, too, with being absolutely right. There's no absolute right here on this earth.
Yeah, and you know what? That ties in perfectly with Marty's quote from Bull Durham. The world is made for people who aren't cursed with self-awareness.
Yeah.
Whew.
And the thing is that we would need a pope, wouldn't we? And maybe an inquisition to get rid of those other people.
Yeah, because you and me, we're trouble. Yeah, we're trouble.
Yeah. Well, we got trouble right here in
River City.
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
All right, Juanita, you have a wonderful night, and tell Charles I'll be down there soon for William Berger.
Okay.
All right, later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Night-night.
That's Juanita down in Central Florida, and onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Garrett, what's up?
You know what the worst thing about this Reed thing is, and the reason why he emailed you saying that he was done? The fact is that he has no spine. He, irregardless of whether or not he said it and, you know, whether or not it's racist, he won't stand up to it.
Well, I mean, I played the audio of him trying to stand up to it, and that was just, dang, Garrett, that was just sad.
I didn't hear it yet. I know that, but I mean, in the worst. In
well, it was the political equivalent of some of my best friends are black.
Oh my God, Colbert has killed that. He killed that like 2 years ago. More, I think.
Okay, I apologize to the people in the audience, but for this conversation to go forward, we're going to have to do this again. Just a minute here. I've got it for you. I can fire it right up here. It's no problem. Okay, this is Harry Reid. It takes 2 minutes and 33 seconds. This is Harry Reid explaining why he said what he said and didn't mean to say what he said and was sorry he said what he said, but is really proud of the fact that he has done more for diversity in the U.S. Senate than all the rest of the people put together.
I really appreciate people writing nice things about me. There's a wonderful editorial in the L.A. Times today and a number of things on the Huffington Post, nice things there. But I am very proud of the fact I can still remember the meeting that took place in my office with Senator Barack Obama, telling him that I think he can be elected president. And I'm sure there were others, but he was kind of surprised that the Democratic leader was calling this new senator over to suggest that he could be elected president. My conversations with the highest ranking African-American in Congress, Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, has been like the calls I got today. I got a call from Merv Dimely. We and I were lieutenant governors together. Merv Dimely and I served in Congress together. So I feel good about people reaching out to me. I've apologized to the president. I've apologized to everyone that, with, in the sound of my voice, that I could have used a better choice of words. And I'll continue to do my work for the African-American community. As a very young man in the state of Nevada, I was one of the leaders of the civil rights movement in Nevada, and it had a lot of moving to do. Governor O'Callaghan, he and I worked hard to work out the consent decree to allow integration of the gaming community in Nevada. Moving forward, I'm very aware of the fact that the first African-American to serve on the federal court in the state of Nevada was a direct work I did, recommending Johnny Rawlinson to President Clinton. The first diversity program, and we had a call last night. It was late. I was surprised he was up this late, from Secretary Salazar, and he said, Harry, you make sure you tell everybody that you have done more for diversity in the United States Senate than all the rest of the people put together. So that's where we are.
Yeah, so I've got that going for me, which is great. And you being the movie buff that you are, I know you know where that comes from.
Yeah.
Caddyshack, yeah. Bill Murray. So I got that going for me, which is good.
Yeah, but here's the best part. On Saturday morning's Las Vegas Review-Journal, or Las Vegas Review-Rag, because it's a right-wing piece of garbage, it had poll numbers for the three top Republican, you know, candidates to go against Reid. And all three elections, before I tell you these numbers, all three elections had 10% undecided. First one was Reid against Sue Loudon, losing 40-50%. Second one was Reid against Danny Tarkanian. Mind you, Danny Tarkanian has only won.
Wait, is it that Tarkanian family?
Yes. The only thing
the towel sucker, his son.
Yes.
Oh, be dipped.
Danny has one has been playing for his pop or coaching under his pop. Seriously, he's not won anything, and he's winning. He's beating in the polls. Reed 41% to 49%. Reed is losing. And then the other one, I can't even remember her. It was, I can't even remember his name, but he was also beating Reed in this poll, 49 to 41, with 10% undecided and, of course, your margin of error. Think about that for a moment.
The best he can do is a dead heat.
Yes. And the and this was before.
That was my next question. Is that before this breaks?
Yes. This was Saturday morning paper, because I emailed you, what was it, like Saturday? It was like Saturday night after the second game on NBC. You know, and that's when it came out. I was like, that's why he emailed you. He's done. He's done.
All we got to do is have a little ding from where the toaster pops up. He's done.
Yes, he... Stick a fork in him. He's done. Oh, but yeah, it's just like, because he doesn't, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing with Clinton's quote. I understand what he was, both him and that Clinton quote from this book. I understand what they're trying to get at. The problem is that they worded it so horribly. But Bill, you know, he'll be like, you gotta be kidding me. I didn't mean it that way. And besides, most people still like Clinton enough, you know, well, sane people like him well enough that, you know, they'll forgive him. Reed? No, he's spineless.
Well, I mean, is there, I don't know because I've never attended one, but I've certainly attended Democratic Party political functions in this state. And, for instance, you know, we've got a governor who calls himself a Democrat here in this state that, you know, you hang with him a little bit, and you just need a shower because he's such a bought-off corporatist. And the fact of the matter is, but there are people, if you go to one of these Democratic Party functions, who just, I just love him. Oh, he's just wonderful. And I'm sure that there's some sort of Democratic establishment machine out in Nevada that says, oh, that Harry Reid, oh, he brings honor to Nevada.
Oh, yeah, because the fact that he's the Senate Majority Leader, it was seen as a big boon to this state when he made Minority Leader, made Senate Majority Leader, they thought it was a great big boon. I mean, and until...
Well, is there any noise out there of anybody taking him on in the Democratic primary, Garrett?
None. I thought there would be. Nothing.
I guess Chip Carter's just waiting for another run at John Ensign.
He must be. He must
Or maybe
be.
He's just not interested anymore. I don't know.
I don't know, but the fact is that I don't know, but I have not heard anything about who they might get because, I mean, Reed will probably stick around at least till this healthcare thing passes. But beyond that, I would strongly advise him once the health care passes, presuming it does, of course, that to do like Dorgan and frickin' and Dodd and just cut bait. I mean, he's been thinking before this, and this thing is, we're talking getting race into it. And it's just going to get ugly. I mean, when Michael Steele is getting all indignant and you know that he can probably, you know, there's probably even a sliver, a tiny little microfraction of a sliver of, you know, justification that, you know he's lost. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, I don't know how this ends well.
It can't. I mean, you have to understand the majority. a great deal of the votes in this state are in two places, in Reno
and Las Vegas. And what Harry Reid counts on is the labor vote in Las Vegas.
Yes. Oh, yeah, especially now since he's riding so low. I mean, this is a man who won his previous election by a 3-1 margin, and now he's
dead. So what's driving that? Is it the teabaggers and their dissatisfaction with being able to go to the doctor, or is there a contingent of Democrats there, Garrett, who are sick to death of seeing Harry Reid be a pathetic wimp?
I think it's some of both. I mean, it's obvious there's the teabagger thing going on. I mean, geez, Southern Nevada, there's military bases near, in Northern Nevada and in Southern Nevada. So you got that, you got that contingent. But more importantly, a lot of us are just, fed up. I know there are people I do work with and used to work with that are just like, one of them, I mean, I saw just before Christmas, she used to live in one of the so-called Nevada cow counties, never, and it's like, she's like, oh, he never came up to our corner of it, and he'd always brag about, going to all of the little towns because he's from one of the little towns up in the north, but, it's like, it's a disgust that's been more working its way, and he's not doing him any favors. I mean, he doesn't have a spine, and it's painfully obvious. I mean,
Garrett, where you live? I mean, you're out in Vegas and stuff, you go around, and you live your life. I mean, do you talk with other people? I mean, do you get a sense of the so-called man on the street?
A little bit. I mean, nothing, horribly huge, but I get a feel, and it's just that, is not, and certainly, by reading the paper, I mean, the frickin', the rag, it, I didn't read the, fr- I just got home from work around, an hour ago, but, half hour ago, but I didn't read the editorial section of the review rag. I'm sure they frickin' excoriated the man in one of their opinions. I mean,
for no other reason than what they are.
But they wanted him to go to centrist. I mean, they're going to call him a hypocrite, which is funny because they're all, pretty much everybody there is right wing. In fact, they've always had a heavy libertarian bent at that frickin' paper. This is what the assistant editor at the RJ, his photo in the editorial section, he looked like some wannabe cowboy before he shaved his mustache.
Oh, God. No. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
There was a mustache involved?
Yeah, he had like some cowboy-looking mustache. He looked like he wanted to be a cowboy. It was scary.
Oh, God, is this the part where I cue up Frank Zappa singing I May Be Moving to Montana Soon? Oh, God.
But, yeah, they've all, and the head editor, his current photo has, like, a bolo tie. Seriously.
I kind of like the bolo tie, but, yeah.
Yeah, but
snake skin, I don't know what, some eagle skin boots and, all the stuff that goes.
I get the feeling.
Endangered species interior leather in his Hummer, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the both of.
Yeah. Okay.
Both of them give me that impression, to say the least. But yeah, that's the type of people. And plus, you have the fact is that there's a lot of, there's no way I can put it more bluntly. There's a lot of Mormons in this town.
Just take out that second M and you've got it. You've got the pelt nailed to the wall, Garrett. Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, this has been true for a while, but I've read that they have the highest numbers, not percentage, mind you, but numbers of people in this area.
Well, and they can leverage them to get them to the poll. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Garrett, we're at the top. I got to roll on, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the insights. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Our Las Vegas correspondent out on the strip, that's Garrett calling, oddly enough, from Las Vegas. So we will take a little break, and then we'll start up hour number three, even though we're kind of already into hour number three. But, you know how that works. At any rate, this is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
And Moran Monday rolls along on the horn at about 15 minutes past the hour, 15 past 8, here on the East Coast. A little bit more daylight left for you, depending on where else you might be on the planet. Or maybe morning is approaching. God, isn't global broadcasting cool? Yes, it is. It's the wave of the future. I would be remiss if I didn't say, and I don't know that we'll have time to go into it tonight, but we may find time for it later this week, and I would welcome participation in the in a dialogue about it. I got a I got a link to a really, really interesting post over on Make the Path. You know, our friend Scott in Massachusetts is working hard on creating a new kind of network, a new kind of website, makethepath.org. If you haven't gone and had a look, go have a look. But Grant in Oregon sent me the link to a discussion or an article about advertising and media, and I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that expanded at some point. I don't have the link right at hand, but go over there and have a look and maybe study it. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to post it out there somehow or another, and we'll maybe make some inquiries into that later in the week, if you would like. Where to go? Well, there's a couple of where to goes. One of them, I think, we'll stick with Moran Monday for a couple more minutes here. It goes with that, you know, just kind of what I said about Sarah Palin is applicable to the right wing in general. They're all morons. And as such, I don't know, we retire their moron jersey. Would that be a St. Louis Cardinals jersey if we're working with the, no offense to the Cardinals fans out there, but if we're working with the original Get a Brain morons, would that be a St., well, no, it wouldn't be a jersey, it would be a St. Louis Cardinals t-shirt and a red do-rag on top. Or was it blue? Can't remember. Big bold picture of it over at BartCop today from the Wizard of Whimsy. Quite funny. I laughed out loud. But anyway, this is a nomination of the right wing in general for Moran Monday. But in particular, a nomination of the following. Here we go. Senator John McCain, Senator Joe Lieberman, Senator John Barrasso, and Senator John Thune are all nominated for Moran Monday this evening for a hissy that they had over a suggestion made by George Mitchell, who is President Obama's U.S. Middle East peace envoy. Okay, with me so far? Now, this is the guy who was largely responsible for successfully brokering a peace in Northern Ireland, which was a good thing, it turned out. And appearing on PBS, he said that maybe one of the things we ought to do in the Middle East is to withhold support on loan guarantees to Israel in order to pressure the Israelis to take seriously a peace process. Yeah. Wow. That sure is radical. Well, it was radical to senators McCain, Lieberman, Barrasso, and Thune. You know, I hate doing Israel stories just because they never end well. Regardless, they end up with some poor Palestinian mother in Gaza or the West Bank grieving over the bleeding corpse of her child. God. But at any rate, the purpose is to rein in Israel's the persistent and steadfast and bullheaded determination to settle over top of the Palestinians and basically commit a Palestinian genocide by eliminating any possibility of the Palestinians having anywhere to live. And so George Mitchell said that. He said maybe we should withhold support on loan guarantees to Israel. Well, let's see. The Israeli finance minister said, we don't need to use these guarantees. We're doing just fine. And the Ma'ariv newspaper in Israel called Mitchell's suggestion a bombshell. You know, they just can't resist going to the eliminationist rhetoric. And right-wing fascist Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party, its senior members said, we will not be threatened by the U.S. Oh, please. Oh, Margaret. Threatened by the U.S. As if the U.S. has ever threatened Israel. As if we don't prop the entire state of Israel up wholesale. But anyway, this from an article about the hissies thrown by Senators McCain, Lieberman, Barrasso, and Thune. I believe from the Jerusalem Post. The quote, Lieberman, after saying that an administration official had already disavowed Mitchell's statement, said that in his opinion,
any attempt to pressure Israel to force Israel to the negotiating table by denying Israel support will not pass the Congress of the United States. In fact, the Congress will stop any attempt to do that. I don't think we will come to that point.
And John McCain was, you know, bug-eyed as well. He said he doesn't agree with this type of pressure. Right? Now, remember, this is Moran Monday, so there's a punchline here. There's only one problem. There was no hissy similar to this when George W. Pinhead, I mean Bush, made the very same threat back in 2003. Explicitly threatening to withhold Israeli loan guarantees or loan guarantees from the Israelis because of the expansion of their vast the Great Wall of Israel into Palestinian territory. And then there was his daddy, George H.W. Bush, back in 1991, who actually cut off the loan guarantees for a short period of time because of settlement policies. And forced Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir to attend the Madrid Peace Conference. But what didn't happen back then was there was no hissy from Lieberman or McCain. Thune wasn't there. And Mike Boraxo, I don't know, maybe he was doing his laundry. So those four senators get a brand new, shiny Moran Monday nomination. Hooray for them. You know, it's so embarrassing to have to be a country of the size and power of the United States and have to go groveling and lick-spittling along to Israel. It's just embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Listen, it's just sort of... I can't even wrap my head around it. Did you hear that they're also building a new wall?
Yes.
Yeah, another wall to, as Netanyahu say, to, you know, help define the character of Israel. I'm like laughing hysterically, thinking, my God, what else do they need to do to define Israel? I think.
Well, I mean, at what point do we just give up and say, okay, it's fascism?
Well, it's just sort of. It's not even apartheid. I don't know what it is because it's a religious state, right?
Well,
masquerade as a democracy.
Did you see this thing a few weeks ago, or maybe not? It probably didn't make much of the news. But this thing a few weeks ago that the religious zealots in Jerusalem have managed to segregate the buses.
You mean between men and women?
Between men and women.
Yeah, there's certain. I forget. I don't know all the ins and outs.
And we dare for an instant criticize anybody in the Muslim world for that kind of conduct.
Well, and not only that, but they still claim to be this kind of democracy, which is, you know, it's laughable at this point because the walls, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of.
You really can't be much of a democracy behind a wall, can you, Sandra?
Oh, no. And also the sort of slavish devotion to Israel is just, it's almost pathological now. I mean, you pointed out that a few presidencies ago, they would at least threaten. Now, you know, you can't even make comments.
Well, I mean, Poppy Bush actually cut off the loan guarantees flat out.
He actually did it.
Not for very long, mind you, but he did.
Yeah. I mean, because it's, and so what? They're all slipping out at the nearest spot. Was this Mitchell? Because I missed part of what you
said. This is Mitchell's suggestion that we withhold loan guarantees until the Israelis come to their senses about expansionism.
Well, Mitchell, you know, same one who negotiated the peace in Northern Ireland, that which was never supposed to happen. So obviously he has some insight. But he's well late on this call. He should have been and said this. And so he's saying this now, and he's being shot up all over the place, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Netanyahu has never seen that be threatened. So now the America is threatening Israel? Is that?
Yeah, it's our loan guarantees.
That
they are not entitled to by God. I mean, you know, they can tell the rest of the world that they're entitled to their sacred sand by God. But they can't tell the world that they are entitled to their sacred loan guarantees by God.
Right, and also we have to what is he going to do? Drop a nuclear bomb on us? I mean,
They've never disavowed a first strike, Sandra. unlike say Iran, they have the means of delivering one to us.
Well, yeah, no, it's the Jewish state is. Beyond disturbing. They're last colonialists. I shouldn't say last, but at least in the old style vein of colonialism.
Well, it's just, it's
doing it with cameras and all sorts of high-tech stuff, huh?
Oh, well, did you see this? There's another thing out there. The Transportation Security Administration is all in a lather over some new technology that, of course, the Israelis are pioneering.
Well, they have human guinea pigs to practice this all on.
The latest is that the TSA is all excited over an Israeli company called We See You Technologies, and they're in the process of building an airport system that would basically render the entire airport waiting areas into sort of Pavlovian psychological experiments. In, for all intents and purposes, mind reading.
Oh, God. I mean, as if you're not under enough stress dealing at the airport. You know.
Right, right. Well, okay, just sit yourself down in your imaginary airport for a minute, Sandra, and listen to this. I mean, you know, you're sitting there, you're stressed out, you've had your toenails inspected. It's an airplane flight. There's, you know, there's death possible, okay? It's airplane travel.
Yeah.
And there's some stress that goes with it. I don't care what that really cool movie with George Clooney says.
No, and it's deregulated.
Right, and it's deregulated. And the pilots on the short hops make roughly the same money as an assistant manager at Taco Bell.
Yeah, oh, no. I mean, yeah, which is why I've really cut out my flying. But anyway.
And so we've got the totality of the circumstances. We have set the scene, as it were. And now the description of We See You Technology's new gizmo. The system projects images onto airport screens. You know, calling Mr. Orwell. I mean, just get out your copy and just read along. The system projects images onto airport screens, such as symbols associated with a certain terrorist group or some other image only a would-be terrorist would recognize, company CEO Ehud Givan said. The logic is that people can't help reacting, even if only subtly, to familiar images that suddenly appear in unfamiliar places. If you strolled through an airport and saw a picture of your mother, Givan explained, you couldn't help but respond. The reaction could be a darting of the eyes, an increased heartbeat, a nervous twitch, or faster breathing. The We See You system would use humans to do some of the observing, but would rely mostly on hidden cameras or sensors that can detect a slight rise in body temperature and heart rate.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, if I saw some images pop up, my temperament would change. I am heading for the way to hell out. You see?
Yeah, ultimately, I don't know. Maybe Ehud Givan works for the steamship industry and he's just trying to kill airline travel.
I mean, you know, just what you just described there just sounds like something out of hell. I mean, when you're telling me they would just, what, all of a sudden some sort of Al-Qaeda symbol would just pop up.
Yeah, well, you know, the secret Al-Qaeda lodge handshake.
Listen, that is so, I know it's not funny, but that is like the funniest thing I've heard in so long, because it's just ridiculous. And I just think those poor Palestinians, what they must have been subjected to or being subjected to.
Well, God, I had the story of the Israeli organ harvesting a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, the eyeballs and the, yeah, no, that was like, you know, it's funny how that came and went real quick. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, and there's and while it's a little bit not Israeli, there's another thing that came and went, it never actually got here, except for maybe Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now. This story, U.S.-led forces accused of executing school children in Afghanistan. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, because when people are protesting nonstop, you're like, oh, why is this so vitriolic? Then you look and you say, oh, see, because we don't get to get that information. So they just look like crazy people protesting, right?
Right, because, you know, our free press doesn't want us to know this.
No, but you get half the story, because I saw that protest. I'm like, what's going on? So I did look. I did my little research, and I heard about that story. I'm like, are you kidding me? So now we're tying.
I mean, where is this on Cutesy Couric's newscast? Where's friendly, homely Charlie Gibson with this?
No, that's that Diane Sawyer. That horrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're not going to, because that's not news. I don't know what that is anymore.
I mean, you've got hundreds of people taking to the street in protest in Afghanistan. You've got Hamid Karzai saying we are going to forbid the United States from doing nighttime house raids.
Yeah, no, I mean, and we don't ever see any of this.
And, I mean, frankly, for Mr. Karzai, because this Amy Goodman clip that I saw, it's got footage of Karzai in it saying that. And I mean, he's getting a little uppity, isn't he?
Well, they already fought him out. I mean, they really want him gone. I mean, it's fraud, his brother, all that is true. But he has been speaking out a bit more about, you know, his, quote, people being slaughtered wholesale. He don't really have a choice. You know what I'm saying? He has to say something.
Right, because as it is, he's not the... The crown is not resting easily on his noggin. But, you know, the backgrounder on this, if people don't know, it was December the 27th in eastern Kunar province, and U.S.-led forces marched into a house and pulled 10 Afghans, and 8 of them were school children, out of the house and murdered them.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't armed.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that some of their hands were tied behind their back.
Yeah, little children were dragged, little boys, they're all little boys. They were dragged out of their beds and shot them in the head. The ages of the 8 students were from 11 to 17, and all but one of them were from the same family.
But we're not allowed to make any connection with any attack or potential attack or anything in this country, though. You notice?
Right. That? Yeah, because, you know, they're Afghans. You know,
because they hate us for our freedom.
They hate us for our 137 channels.
I mean, you know, it's just absurd, and like I said before, I just don't have any time for, you know, my fellow citizens who still live in that world, because, you know, it don't take much to figure out, well, if you're being attacked, there's reasons involved, you know? I mean, the fact that anyone bought that BS of they hate our freedoms is just absurd anyway. You remember that poor professor who lost his job because he's mentioned chickens that come over the roots. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I forget his name. A Native American professor, Colorado, Churchill. It's Ward Churchill.
Yeah, Ward Churchill. Yes.
And you know, the problem. You know, I think that was early in the, not too soon after 9/11. You know, he was just vilified. His whole life was kind of turned upside down. And all he asked was, well, there must be reasons for these attacks. You know.
Yeah.
And that story you just said right there, what is that going to bring on us? I don't know. I'm just.
Well, but the thing is, I think the saddest part of this is whatever it brings, the American people will say, well, why are they doing that?
Well, exactly, and it's just really...
And if the American Fourth Estate had even been remotely doing its job, Sandra, we wouldn't ask that question. We'd say, well, yeah, Jesus, we're taking 11-year-olds out in the middle of the night and putting two in the chest and one in the head.
Well, yeah, no, it's too much. And I like the idea, the whole thing now, that some of these so-called CIA operatives are turning out to be Blackwater. Have you heard that?
Yes, yes. And well, I mean, how does the German government feel?
Oh, well, I guess you can just go into someone's country and do assassination.
I mean, we didn't even so much as offer a courtesy call to the German intelligence service.
No, and now Merkel is having a few problems with some of her peeps. So, like, you know what? What's going on?
And the rehearsal, this is a killer, the rehearsal for that black op, so to speak, in Germany was held at Eric Prince's house in Virginia.
Yeah, no, I heard all about that. I was just like, you know, what's going, you know, what is this? So, the whole private, you know, I was always amazed when I read that 70% of our intelligence is now outsourced. That just sort of sticks with me, and it's so problematic on so many different levels, you know?
And then you've got that news story out from, it was late last week. And it was just frightening in its candor, where what did it say? I got it right here. Intel in Afghanistan is referred to as as inept and clueless.
The incompetence. The competency is what I was tripping on with the CIA / Blackwater agents. It's like, okay, it's privatized, and they don't even know what the hell they're doing. You know, it's the same thing with every effort to privatize most government functions. You don't get what you're supposed to get, you know? It's all lies.
Yeah, and you know, we don't get the story about what's going down in Afghanistan on the American end of things. Maybe, just maybe, other countries do. I sent this link over to John Fox. I don't know if he saw anything of it, but in essence, there's a bit of a stink in Australia, because Australian soldiers have been on some slaughterings of Afghan children. Children, for Christ's sakes, children, Sandra.
Well, no, but I mean, it's, you know, I just think it's... The whole idea of war, I mean, there's nothing, all this shouldn't be that shocking. I mean, what are we doing over there?
Well, okay, let me back up. No, I'm not shocked. This is what we do.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is what is done. But
I guess the fair inquiry is, how would the American people react if they were actually confronted with this reality?
Well, they seem to be too worried, too upset by the fact that we haven't tortured the Undy bomber.
Yes. Yeah, 58% want him tortured.
Yeah, it's just sort of, you know...
Of course, they're Christians.
So, you know, I just wonder, but I do blame, like you were talking, you see, the access to information. I mean, it's not on the slick nightly news. When I used to watch nightly news when I was, you know, it was so much different, as you know.
You know what I need? I need someone with a better... Because I was a kid. But I need somebody with a better memory of that era to tell me, how did the American people respond when the story of Lieutenant Calley finally came out at My Lai and the horrors of it? Generally speaking, how did the American, because that was at least carried on American news to a certain extent, because we still had news back then. How did the American people respond? I mean, I remember growing up in Alabama, and you could go and buy a 45 RPM record that lionized Lieutenant William. It was the Ballad of Lieutenant Calley, talking about what a hero he was. So, you know, maybe our thesis is incorrect. You know, maybe there's always going to be some element of the American people who are out there saying, well, them damn brown people had it coming.
Well, oh, no, I do think that's the case, but I do vividly remember people riveted to the Watergate hearings. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole country was, you know, mesmerized and totally engaged with that process. Now, that's not the same as war crimes, but it does show that a country can be engaged in a political process. That doesn't exist anymore now. That's all I'm saying. You can't even get that. The last time you had that sort of engagement was over the Clarence Thomas thing, and that was just titillation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But since then, you can't even get people drummed up about all the stuff that we go on about as nauseam. You know what I mean?
Well, but to what extent can we then say, Sandra, that the Bush administration's constant drumbeat of fear had its desired effect? Because they are at least somewhat, if you take Cy Hirsch with a grain of salt and his allegation that Dick Cheney had a bunch of leave-behinds in the government that would feed him information, if you take that with a grain of salt and you say, well, you know, they're gone. They're gone for almost a year now, and we're not getting any traction changing the American mindset.
Well, no. I mean, you know, poor Obama has to say war. And they're all excited that he has to use the word war again, you know, because...
And terror, don't forget, he has to say terror a lot.
No, when a man, for whatever, was trying to, you know, disengage at least from the language, and I'll give him credit for that, but, you know, he's being sucked right back into it, too, and they were, like, praising him for saying war, and I'm just like, oh, my God, you know. I mean, it is. It's really just twisted. I'm not too sure... But I tell you what, the youngsters that I was teaching really are, they're quite set with the perpetual war. See, I didn't have that. You know what I mean?
Right. We grew up with the Cold War.
Well, no, but it did stop. You know what I mean? It was something that you could, that was somewhat tangible. It would get hot occasionally, but when the wall fell, that definitely was something that you could say, oh, now there's a peace dividend. Now it's just this sort of perpetual war, which everyone seems prepared to continue forever.
But it's a perpetual war that everyone seems willing to continue forever as long as it's being fought by somebody else's kids.
Well, no, but what's happening, though, is that it's, I don't know if you ever heard of Chalmers Johnson. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody... It's just going to bankrupt the country eventually. I mean, you know, the parallels of Rome. I mean, you know it all. But it's true. I mean, we can't, you know, this can't go on with the way the economy is going. So, I mean, I don't really know. But, you know, the whole idea that Obama had to come out and say, oh, we're not going to send troops to Yemen. It's like, oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Right, you know? And the right wing's going, damn.
I don't even believe that. I just think this was just like him saying, oh, he has full confidence in Geithner. I'm hoping that that's what I think it is, that that fool's going to be gone soon.
Yeah, well, yeah, the at least in previous days, coming out and saying, yeah. I mean, that's the football coach thing.
No, that's
you know,
thing.
When Jerry Jones comes out and says, I have full confidence in the Big Tuna, then you know that the Big Tuna's on the way out.
Right, I mean, so... But these are new days, and who knows, because that horrible, I don't know if you saw it buried somewhere, but old Gates has decided to extend. Am I surprised by that, Bob? No. Bob Gates is here, because he's part of the deep state, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just frightening. It's like he was supposed to be reevaluating a year. Well, he reevaluated, and no one said anything to him, so he's staying on. And they have the obligatory comment about he want to get back to his family. But, I mean, that's BS, you know? He ain't going nowhere. And
no.
As long as he's there.
The war is, as long as he's there, the war is there.
Right, and I'm not saying it's just through him, but, you know, you really need to look at the people who are still there. It's not just him. I mean, there's a whole slew of these sort of, I'm just calling them deep state participants. I don't know what else to call them.
I think that's as good as anything. They're
yeah,
just...
You replace the president, but that still continues. And it's just a little bit more blatant, because if you look at all the used-to-be civilian positions, they're all being done up by these four stars. Have you noticed that?
Yes, they are.
And that's
and that, but the opposite insanity to that is that what we used to rely on, and, you know, Bob from North Dakota alluded to this Friday night, you know, it used to be that we relied on the American military for American military purposes. But now we hire some mercenary.
Right. I mean, the whole idea, you know, as forever, whatever And I find it very negative, the whole Truman National Security Act, that whole 1947 business was, you know, a real game changer for the U.S. But at least he acknowledged that it needed to have a civilian component because they feared having Gestapo, right?
Right. But now,
that world is gone, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And the Gestapo can be privatized, too, which is even, you know, a more sort of inverted totalitarian type of aspect to it all, you know?
And I know maybe these discussions get a little frustrating, but the fact of the matter is we are at least talking about it, Sandra. We're at least aware of it. And
I have to stay aware because otherwise I just get them just make me crazy. So
I guess we got themed early on with Marty's quote from Bull Durham. The world is made for people who aren't cursed with self-awareness. I guess that became tonight's theme. Because I can't just go to sleep in the nightmare. I can't just happily go about being a consumer. I can't just wrap myself in the inane minutiae of which white woman Tiger Woods is alleged to have had sex with latest.
Or what racial slur some lawmaker has made.
I spent more time on Harry Reid than I should have, and I'm ashamed of myself.
That Marsh Halpern book. I mean, you know, this is the best quote I've heard today. The Versailles on the Potomac is what I think is Greenwald called Washington. And that was just perfect for what that place is. You know what I mean? Because the rest of the country is so far away from that gibberish. And that stupid Reed. He don't need to apologize to Obama. Obama don't speak for, you know, blacks aren't monolithic. He needs to apologize to the darkies and the ones with the dialect.
Well, you know, I had a PM earlier this evening trying to make a pretty good parallel on the business with Harry Reid, saying that ELO said, I don't see whitey American electing black guys like the ones from Animal House that said, can we dance with your dates? If anybody was insulted, that's who was insulted. If I may dare crawl around inside Harry's very gentle little mind for a little bit, what he was doing was he was drawing a distinction between Barack Obama and, come on, let's face it, Jesse Jackson.
Not only that, but it just shows that these people, you know, wouldn't have a personal relationship with a black person if they fell on them. That's what that shows me. And that's how pathetic it is.
And when it takes Harry Reid 2 minutes and 33 seconds on CNN to explain that some of his best friends are black.
Well, that means that he ain't got no kind of meaningful personal relationship with a black person. Otherwise, he wouldn't have came out with that gibberish. Sorry. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I tell you, personally, I've had plenty of, you know, my, quote, white friends ask me all kinds of etiquette. That's what you do when you're friends. You know what I mean? You talk about that kind of BS. And it's kind of just, you're comfortable enough with people because they're your friends, so you have those kind of conversations.
Well, you know, that's so true, Sandra, because I just got a note in from Ron in Raleigh. He says, as a black man born in the 1950s, I've been colored as a child, Negro as a young teen. I came of age as a black man in the late 60s. I never embraced Afro or African-American because, hell, I'd never been to Africa. White people call black people what was polite when they came of age. One of my, and some of them what wasn't polite, I think, I might add if I could for Ron. He says, one of my neighbors calls black people colored, but he's in his 70s. I want Harry Reid gone too, but not for this crap. And he adds, by the way, Jim Traficant's out of prison. Let's get the crazy SOB reelected.
Oh, shit. That's out of jail?
It came as a surprise to me, too. Him and his bird's nest hairdo.
Oh, my God. He was a hoot.
Okay. And then he also adds, Ron does, I remember that Pat Buchanan was up in arms over the prosecution of Lieutenant Callie, but you're not surprised by that, are you? And then David in Tennessee says, regarding Lieutenant Callie, it went 2-1 and 1-2. On the campus of the University of Tennessee, 2-1. Good, a horrible act was found out, and we'll be branded as such. We're better than that. out and about in the general population, it was the other way around. One of three would say meekly, I wish it hadn't happened, but such is war. Whether a flat-out them gooks got it all coming, or in the softest form, the poor lieutenant made a mistake under the pressure of a horrible guerrilla war waged by women and kids and soldiers in civvies, it ran 2-1 in favor of kill 'em all. So, I mean, you know, this is not, this isn't new, but at least you had, at least you had some movement toward the American self-awareness that arose out of the My Lai massacre. You know, the part of it that Colin Powell didn't manage to cover up. But we won't talk about him because that wouldn't be polite.
Yeah, no, I know what you No, but the thing is, this business now, though, you know, any freak can threaten a plane or a train or a car, and all of a sudden, you know, we're running around like our, you know, like a chicken with its head cut off. I mean,
oh, I've got a news story here from the Smirking Chimp. I don't know if you ever go there, but it's a great little website.
Oh, is that website still going?
Yeah, it's still going.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's an article by David Lindorf, a guy named Mark Hall, who is a soldier who got stop loss. You know, I thought, you know, we got Barack Obama now. I thought the stop loss program was over, but I guess, no, we haven't solved that problem.
Don't ask, don't tell would be too, but here we are.
Yeah, right. Well, Mark Hall is sitting in the Liberty County Jail since December 11th. He's a veteran of the Iraq War, and he's also a rap musician. He wrote a song strongly criticizing the Pentagon because they subjected him to stop loss after he finished his Army tour. His hip-hop alias is Mark Waterkus, and he wrote the song, and, well, okay, he sent it to the Pentagon as a protest. So they're going to court-martial his ass now because he said if somebody tried to make him go to Iraq, he'd start killing people.
So that was his song?
In his song, yes.
Probably to laugh.
You know, welcome to Cop Killer for 2010.
I know, but see, the outrage is so ridiculous. I mean, the violence is just rampant. And so they get all upset about, what, some words? Please.
Yeah, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous words.
I don't mean to laugh.
I know.
I just, that's just appalling. Hey, because, you know, I finally had to cough up some money for the porn you know what drove me to it? You're going to laugh at me. Was that Ed Schultz talking about running for a senator. You know, I was like, oh, my God. So I just did a donation.
Bless your heart.
Whatever, I was just horrified. I'm like, oh, God, you know, I just, why?
Because there aren't that many white guys from North Dakota who have enough name recognition to win a Senate seat. Only problem is, Ed ain't from North Dakota anymore.
Oh, where's he from?
Minnesota. Can't run. Don't live there.
Okay, so that whole exercise is just some sort of ego.
It was basically, Big Eddie's fans saying this would be a great idea. You know, let's put on a play in the barn. My kid, you know how it goes.
Oh, no, I know. I always, you know, I listen to this stuff.
And then he said, well, this was not my idea. And then it turned out that somebody did a little nosing around. Ed don't live in North Dakota.
Oh, God. Well, I just hope that he's not going, you know, because I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's cringing.
Well, bless your heart anyway. I thank you so much. It's all water on parched ground, Sandra. I assure you of that. Because, you know, we stay brokered in the Ten Commandments. That's just.
I don't know. I was listening to you talk about, you know, one day, oh, you freaks going to turn it on. Ain't going to be there. I'm sorry to laugh because it's not funny, but it's like, yeah, that's how shit is, you know?
That's our reality. It really, really is. And I hate to do this, but I've only got a couple of minutes left, okay. And I got one blinking light left. Sandra, thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Later. That's Sandra calling from California. The idea of Senator Ed Schultz was enough to motivate a contribution to the horn. Maybe we need to run him. No, I'm sorry. That was. But, yeah, I mean, it stays tough here. It just does. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Bob. Ben Birch here.
Hey, Ben, what's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. I've just been sort of amused listening to some of the right wingers that I can, the only things I can actually get on my little radio inside where I work. You know, the teabaggers are interesting because they say all the right words, but they've got them all in the wrong order. they say they believe in limited government, free speech, the Second Amendment, our military, secure borders, and our country. And really what they're saying is that what they really meant to say is that they believe in limited speech, amendment, free government, military security, and second borders for our country.
God, that's about the size of it.
I mean, they would not. None of them would support the Supreme Court saying that burning the flag was speech, so obviously they're for limited speech.
Yep.
They don't like all these amendments that give these colored folks rights.
Yeah, they're out the window.
So, amendment-free government, they're the sort that would give up, that Franklin was talking about when he was talking about giving up liberty for a little safety. And so, you know, what they really want is military security everywhere to keep them safe and borders within borders to keep all them there illegal immigrants out. So they use all the right words.
Wrong order.
They just got them all in the wrong order.
You know, it's amazing how much that can change the meaning, obviously. And did you see that study that came out a week or so ago that showed that gross domestic product would shoot through the roof if we just offered citizens to the people who are so-called illegals in this country today?
Well, you know, Bob, there was a point in time in our country when there was no real true concept of whether you were a legal resident or not a legal resident. If you were here, you were a legal resident. Okay, that started to change in the Ellis Island era.
Right.
Prior to that, if you just managed to get to these shores, you were a resident of the United States. You weren't a citizen yet. There were still requirements to become a citizen.
Right, but it was basically the dry foot policy for the entire world, not just Cubans.
Correct, and it has always been my opinion that if we're going to, you know, if we're going to be the nation of Emma Lazarus, you know, give me your tired, your poor, your starving masses, you know, yearning to be free, you know, from the second Colossus poem. I really think that we have to have open borders, not closed borders, not border security, although I would like to see everyone looked at as they come through to see if they're on a wanted list. But I would, you know, but the fact is that if you're just a plain old Mexican fella, or, you know, Pakistani fella, or a Canadian fella, or a Brazilian fella, or a German fella, who wants to come into the United States and live here, here's the door, come on in. Because I don't...
Yeah, God knows why you would, but, you know, come on in.
If you really want to be here, come on in. Come on in. The same rules apply to you as apply to...
And yet the right wing is out there reintroducing something called STEP, Security Against Terrorism, yada yada, whatever it spells, STEP, whereby the entire Arab world, or no, everybody who's on the terrorist state list is forbidden to come here, plus Yemen.
Well, you know, we could take a, you know, there was another nation in the past that took a very similar policy. It was called Japan. It had utterly closed borders from the 12th century up until the 19th century when the Great White Fleet with Dewey showed up.
Right. See those guns? You're opening your borders.
That's right. You know, and it did not serve them very well. That was a time in Japan of great poverty and massive internal strife.
And that also corresponds with the time when they just about destroyed their entire ecostructure.
Right, because they had absolutely no resources from outside, and they were on a little itty-bitty island chain.
Right. Jared Diamond in Collapse documented the fact that they, during that same time frame, The Japanese had almost entirely deforested their islands, much as did the folks at Rapa Nui.
Yes, and had Dewey not shown up, they'd have been starved to death by now.
Quite possibly, yes. Absolutely.
And we would starve to death, too, because without foreign commerce, we've got nothing anymore. If we weren't shipping wheat abroad, it would be really bad here.
And you know what? That reminds me of something that I kind of wanted to get to in the program this evening. That's rather important, really. And you having the science background that you do, and we'll run a couple of minutes over, since you know it's running over. I mean, that's kind of your end of the job anyway. This needs to get out there. You talk about us buying stuff from abroad. You know, we went through the poison dog food thing from China. We went through the melamine-tainted milk thing from China. We went through the poison toys from China. I don't know how many Americans probably bought jewelry for their little girls at Walmart or Claire's Boutique in the mall or any of these other little low-rent outfits. But it all comes, of course, from China, Ben.
Yep.
And it has been discovered, and I mean, I say this seriously, if you've got little girls that you want to buy jewelry for God's sakes, you're going to have to spend the money, because the Chinese jewelry, the stuff that they're sending us now, is up to 91%, sit down, Ben, up to 91% cadmium.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, you will find, and this is the truth, you will find some gemstones coming out of China. Where they're interesting and rare colored gemstones, where the color actually occurred when somebody placed them in a nuclear reactor.
Well, in this case, the investigative organization that did this found that 12% of all the pieces surveyed, which came from New York, Ohio, Texas, and California, 103 items that were bought in those different states between November and December, 12% of the pieces contained at least 10% cadmium and went upwards to 91%, 86%, 89%. And for those who don't know, cadmium has the same negative effects on the brain as lead does in children, and it is also a known carcinogen.
Yep. The reason they use cadmium is because it is very similar to lead in its malleability and ease of casting.
Right.
And so you can make the stuff very, very, very cheaply and bend it back into shape if it isn't perfect.
Right, but the people who know the jewelry business in China say that the Chinese have been using cadmium in their own jewelry for years, and they just started turning it loose on us because it's cheaper than zinc, which is the safe alternative to lead.
Yep, absolutely. Now, the thing is, you know, China has got a very interesting problem in that they are busy trying to corner the market on everything, but the one thing, there are two things they don't have the market cornered on and can't get the market cornered on that we have got in abundance. One is grain and the other is coal.
Yeah.
What they are finding now is that much of the cancer you find in China at this point in time is because of the coal they are burning. They are burning coal that is from a particular era of the past when there was a mass extinction because of volcanic activity. And that coal has a lot of silica in it. And when you burn that coal, especially when you burn it indoors in a stove, you are almost guaranteed to give the people thereabouts lung cancer.
Jesus.
And so they're finding that the coal they have got, the coal they can exploit, that they have an abundance over there, is the bad stuff. And they need to buy coal from someplace else. And that someplace else, well, there are two other someplaces. One is South Africa and the other is here. Okay? And if they want to do steel, they have got to have metallurgical coal, and the metallurgical coal almost has to come from here. So you know, one of these days we're going to get a politician in office with enough gumption to leverage that fact with the Chinese and say, look, we've got something you want. You're not going to get any more of it unless you give us something we want.
Unfortunately, though, because we have allowed them into the World Trade Organization, that becomes almost impossible to do.
Well,
what a tangled web we weave. Hey, Ben, I hate to do it, but
we're
up against Malloy, and folks need to change over.
Okay, you take care, sir.
All right, see you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. The hardest working man in liberal talk, that's Ben Birch. I haven't heard from Ben in a long time. It's been too long. And it's time for me to say goodnight. The show's run over by a couple of minutes, but that'll be fine. Thanks, everybody, for joining in for More and Monday. Take the cadmium warning seriously. If you've got little children you buy jewelry for, please, no Claire's, no Walmart, and if it says made in China, no buy, okay? Period. This isn't a boycott. This is for the sake of your children, for God's sakes. No Chinese jewelry. Please. Thanks to Ben Birch, to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to ELO, Sue, Lottie, all the chat room moderators, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, Texas Betsy, our blogger. Thank you to all of you who make conversation radio possible on a continuing basis. I'm glad you think it's important. I'm gratified that you think it's important and grateful that you think it's important. And it is certainly the motivation that keeps things going here at the Horn. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
It's almost a cause for celebration. We got a break today. They went 2 hours late, but the kids actually had a school day. Hard to comprehend, I know. It seems like, it's almost like, if they missed this much school and it wasn't frozen solid, you know what? I'd be in jail. But as it is, they did return to school today for at least one day. Although more crap is predicted overnight and into tomorrow, and there is certainly no guarantee that they'll be in school Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. But we got them to school today, which is good, which we've got that going for us. Under the present, at this rate, they'll be going to school into July, making up stuff. That's not going to go over real well. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. Now, let's talk about Morans. Because, after all, it is Moran Monday on the horn. That's right. Moran Monday on the horn. The day of the week when we devote ourselves to exposing the outright stupidity of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Get your Morans. Red hot Morans going here. Going quick. Don't go anywhere else on the midway. Step right up to the Moran Monday tent. Just what? No, it's free. It's free. The Morans are free. Step right through the curtain. No one will be admitted to see the Morans after the first 5 minutes. Step right.